Aleluia. Aleluia. What I'd like for us to do now is, if you're able, would you stand with us? And you can keep praising him. What we've just witnessed was the expression, the outpouring of gratitude to God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, Lord. We praise God for these little ones kind of setting the atmosphere. Good Lord. My. So what I want to do is I want to read a couple of verses of scripture. I want to breathe the word of prayer. We're going to watch a video that captures the essence of the message, and then we'll hear our message for today. And by any means, or by no means, do I mean for you to stop that enthusiasm. You keep screaming and hollering till the Spirit says, that's enough. It's all gravy, baby. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and we'll also look at verse 23. Listen as I read. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Verse 23, whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord, not for people. Your version may say not for man. Hallelujah. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your grace and truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us the privilege of worship and praise and being expressive with our appreciation to you, Lord. Lord, you've done so much for us. And Father, we don't thank you enough. In fact, Father, we complain more than we thank. So forgive us for that. Forgive us for all our other sins and missteps. And Father, just permit us this moment now to be on one accord, to examine your word, and for the word to make life transformation moves in all of our lives. Father, please don't let us leave here the same. We submit this prayer to you by faith in the name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Work. Most of us spend over half our lives at work. Whatever it is you fill the 9-to-5 with, planting crops, building cars, taking care of patients, teaching students, or running a business, work is where most of life happens. For some, work is a drain. They dread Monday mornings, forcing themselves to struggle through because they need the paycheck, while many times feeling trapped and beaten down by their job. Some people love their work. They're good at what they do. It energizes them. It's a place of security, a place to chase dreams, desires, and success. At work, they find fulfillment. We often forget to connect our faith to our work. We don't consider the reasons God may have us at our job. We don't think about the purpose and meaning we could bring to our work. We simply focus on how it makes us feel. But what if we saw our work as an opportunity to worship? As Christians, we are called to serve Christ with our lives. For a few, that means working as a pastor, a youth minister, or a missionary. Others serve the church by teaching children or singing in the choir. But when Sunday is over, most of us return to our jobs outside the church. For us, our mission is in the marketplace. We may not be the kind of missionary who moves to the far regions of Africa, but around the conference table, around the water cooler, or around the cubicle, we have an opportunity to worship the God who created us. He gave us skill. He gave us passion. He gave us work. When we do our jobs with excellence and integrity and diligence, it's an act of worship. We are displaying God's craftsmanship to the non-believing world around us. We are earning the right to be heard. We don't see a divide between Sunday and Monday, between the sacred and the secular. We've been invited into parts of the world that a pastor or traditional missionary will never see. We have conversations with people who would never set foot in a church. Whether we love or dread our work, we choose to turn the focus away from ourselves and toward the mission God has for us. Church is not the only place we worship, and Sundays are not the only days in our calendars that have meaning. Every day on mission for God brings us great joy. Like the heroes before us, we can be modern-day Noahs and Josephs and Peters who are called with a purpose. God has designed us. He created us to work and to worship. For us, work is worship.
And the people of God said, amen. Amen. He concluded the statement by saying, and for us, work is worship. And that is the essence of our message for today. Thank you so much, ushers. That is the essence of our message for today. Work as worship. Everyone should have a sermon note card. I don't know what that was. A sermon note card, if you would, make sure you have that. And we will begin our message on today by examining our message moment. All right. If you don't have a note card, just lift your hands. Ushers would be more than happy to assist you. We have several down front ushers. If you grab those additional sermon note cards, and let's distribute those. Keep your hands raised, please. Keep your hands raised. They're coming. They're coming. Amen. So as they're also distributed, let me share our message moment. And then we'll jump into our message for today. Amen. Our work is to be performed as an offering to the Lord. Our work is to be performed as an offering to the Lord. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. So if you don't hear anything else I say, the message moment is your way of capturing the essence of today's sermon. There is no line of separation that divides the sacred with the secular for the believer. We don't have the privilege of saying, this is my worldly space and this is my spiritual space. Everywhere we plant our feet as believers becomes sacred in the sense that we bring the light of the gospel everywhere we go. To our jobs, to our school campuses, to our neighborhoods. Everywhere we go as believers, we bring the light of the gospel to those spaces. So you don't get to take off your faith as you take off a choir robe or take off a pastoral robe. You don't get to put your faith aside. You bring your faith with you. And in essence, you, with the Word and the Spirit of God dwelling in you, have the capacity to sanctify the space that you're in. Are you with me so far? So we don't take off who we are to go to work. Our faith must shine through us, wherever we are. The basketball courts, the coffee shop, work. But all too often, we allow those spaces to determine how much of our light shines. And we put the light of the gospel on a dimmer switch. So based upon the environment we're in, some of us have it so low that it really ain't shining. And all too often, we do this because we don't want to bring attention to ourselves, not fully recognizing that what is on the inside of you makes you a spectacle everywhere you go. So you can try your best to suppress it, but any unbeliever can look at an authentic believer and know that there's something different. I need a witness up in here. Now, I'm not talking, you got to dress old-fashioned, you got to carry your big tabletop Bible with the Jesus on the cover. That's not what I'm talking about. Just the way you live and carry yourself is an indication of what has taken place on the inside. So this principle affects our world in phenomenal ways. It allows us, beloved, to share in uninterrupted communion with the Lord, uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord, day by day, moment by moment, place to place. And that's what worship as work, or even more specific, worship as a lifestyle means for the believer. So when we look at man being created by God, we're catching a glimpse of God's design for every single one of us. And it leads us back to creation. Get ready to write. In the beginning, work. Get that down. You thought I was saying in the beginning was God and the word. No. In the beginning, work. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, we discover that when God introduced man, he informed him of his need to work. Help me, Holy Spirit. So at the introduction of man in the narrative of God's creation story comes an informed communication. Brother, it's time to work. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them. God blessed them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." Beloved, we were created for worship and for work. Hope I'm putting y'all to sleep already. I got 7 minutes left. We were created for worship and for work. And I need for you to understand something. Work is still worship. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, we discover two specific principles. Number one, mankind received value. Everybody say value. Come on, everybody say value. According to the text, we are image bearers. So that means the Lord stamped us like himself. We were made in his image. We bear the image of God, which means who we are is a reflection of who God is. We're image bearers. We didn't lack anything. That's value. So that helps me to understand that this creation, this man that God created, has value. Not only do we receive value, secondly, we received vision. I like that right there. He says, listen, I need for you, male and female, I need all of y'all to rule, to have dominion. But here's the part I love. Multiply. I need a witness up in here. He said, listen, I need for you to understand that I've placed something upon you that ain't like every other creature I've made. Because you're the only one that can have a relationship with me. And I'm pouring into you a clear assignment. Rule. Have dominion. And multiply. I need for you to understand something. Work is not a curse. Let me try this out. Work is not a curse. It's an opportunity for worship. It's an opportunity for us to be a witness. So as believers, we were born, watch this, into the image of God, And then we place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive his free gift of salvation, placing him as Savior, leader, and Lord of our lives. That means all that we are, our life's work, is to be submitted and surrendered unto the Lord as an offering. Our second reference scripture is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It speaks of all of who we are based upon our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, being submitted and surrendered to all who the Lord is. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. All of who we are is to be presented to the Lord as a sacrifice. He says, this is your true worship. Stop right there. That's enough on that one. So all of me, Stephen Brown, is to be presented to the Lord. All of my gifts, all of my talents, my work, my ministry, all that makes me who I am, my husband, being a dad, all of that is to be submitted and surrendered unto the Lord. And see, this is what helps me, watch this, to live holy. See, when I surrender my manhood and my covenant with my bride, that helps me stay in alignment with who the Lord has created, saved, and called me to be. Preach, Pastor Brown. So the reason many of us struggle with that is because we have areas in our lives who have not been offered unto the Lord. So basically, Romans 12, 1 and 2 has given us two principles that J.D. Greer helped me to understand. J.D. Greer helps me with this. This is number one. I want to understand this as it relates to work as worship. Watch this. Do what you do well for the glory of God. Do what you do well for the glory of God. Let's just take a quick inventory. How many accountants do you have? Raise any accountants in here. Any accountants? Raise your hand. I got one. Another accountant? Oh, we got one accountant in the whole church. All right, that's good. How many teachers do we have? Look at that. Hands down. How many people work in retail? Raise your hand. Retailers. Got some hands? All right. Hands down. How many? What else we got? Medical. How many medical field? Let me see. Come on, medical. Medical field. All right, hands down. How many mechanics? There's something wrong with my car right now. Any mechanics? No, I don't trust Kyler. Put your hand. So the point is, I'm just joking. The point is this. Do what you do. Do it well for the glory of God. See, y'all, this keeps us, watch this. This keeps Stephen Brown from stealing pens at work. You feel me, Sister Joss? Y'all leaving church with reams of paper. See, when I do what I do for the glory of God, all that I do while there especially, I'm doing for the glory of God. Can't be stealing supplies. Talking about this for my church. So you better keep me on time. All right. Do what you do well for the glory of God. That's work as worship. The second principle, Romans chapter 12, real simple. Do it somewhere strategic for the mission of God. You are on mission when you clock in. Those of you who clock in. Some of y'all don't clock in. Don't matter. When you get to work, that's clocking in. But you have to see yourself, beloved, as being on mission. Now let me talk to the brothers. Brothers, lean in, brothers. Oh, brothers. When you're on mission, when you're doing stuff for the glory of God, you got to carry yourself as a man of God. Brothers, for real. You can't be flirting with the women. Ain't nobody talking back to me. You on mission, bro? I want that to sink in. Because see, some brothers, we see going to work as like, you know, happy hour. My wife ain't here, nobody know my family here, nobody go to my church here. I can just come in and just go buck wild. That's why you go to work so much. You ain't that committed. All that overtime ain't overtime. Y'all messing with me. I got to finish this sermon. But when you see yourself as on mission, it helps to control your behavior. You're not going to be able to be a witness to anybody on your job when you flirt and look at every skirt that passes your area. You are literally losing the value of your witness. And that ain't just for the brothers. Let's move on. I got to get to this. So as we understand, let's build our case. We're talking about work is worship. We were created in the beginning for work. We receive value. We receive vision. Understand that. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, all that we are is to be offered as a sacrifice because we are alive. We are living sacrifices. So that means whatever we get paid to do, that is also offered unto the Lord as a sacrifice. So do what you do well for the glory of God. Do what you do, something specific for the mission of God. So God's Holy Spirit empowers us to serve others in our marketplace fields, education, medicine, mechanics, accountants. What are some other jobs? I'm missing. I'm just having a... Who? Construction, building, trade, banking, IT. The post office. That's the last one right there. That's it. God bless you. Post office, that seals it. We don't make them post office people upset. All right, post office. So understand this. You're doing what you do, not just to get a check. And trust me, I get the need to get the check. I'm not discounting that. You must work and you must get paid. But I don't want you to see that as the ultimate goal. Your ultimate goal is not the paycheck. Your ultimate goal is to make sure you're giving glory to God. Make sure you're using the leverage of your influence in that marketplace field to win others to Christ. And I'm not telling you to go in tomorrow's preaching and teaching. No. You just live a life of honor and respect before those, and then you will earn a right to be heard. So Colossians chapter 3, where we finally made our way here, our motto text, we have two contextual themes in Colossians 3:12-25. The first one for verse 17, it deals with Christian behavior towards each other, how we talk to each other. How important that is, how we interact with each other. The second reference, verse 23, the context deals with Christian behavior towards those who rule over us. In both instances that I've referenced, the Christian is being held to a standard of serving God in whatever context he or she may be in with excellence. Excellence. When you do sloppy work at work, that is not a good reflection of God's excellence. If you do your assignments at the last minute, I don't know who that was. They felt it. I felt all that. It does not reflect the excellence of the Lord. So verse 17, the part that's dealing with how we communicate with each other, this is whatever you do, however you communicate in word or deed, Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The direct object, the one receiving what you do, is the Lord. So you're doing it as unto him. Stop looking at your bosses and your co-workers and understand that you have a higher authority that you're answering to. And then verse 23 says, whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. Let me give you three things, I promise, and we're done. Three things. Number one, we're going to deal with the topic of what you do. Somebody say, what you do. What you do. That's your occupation. Now understand this. Your occupation is inconsequential. It doesn't matter what you do, but it matters that you understand what you're doing. That's a tongue twister, ain't it? It doesn't matter if you're flipping burgers or flipping houses. Whatever that avenue that the Lord has gifted and given you, it's about being passionate and purpose-driven. And when you do that every day you get to work, beloved, that is worship. And I want you to start, if you go to work today, I want you to start today. If you go to work tomorrow, I want you to start it tomorrow. That when I walk in this place, I'm purpose driven. I'm going to stop ignoring my emails and phone calls. I'm going to stop not responding to the requests. I'm going to stop being a slack and checking social media every 10 to 20 minutes. And then trying to throw in some work at the, I ain't got no help up in here. Everybody say, what you do. But then secondly, why you do. Why you do. All right, I got to hurry up. Your work is worship and a witness. We do what we do so that we can earn a credible voice to ultimately share the gospel. That's why you do. We've been commissioned to be disciple makers. That's why you do it. To earn a voice. To be a witness. What you do. Why you do. Thirdly, who you do it unto. And I'm finished. Everything you do is for him. Our daily tasks are to be daily offerings for the Lord. And as a consequence, there is built-in supernatural accountability. So when you leave out of here today, I promise I'm done. When you leave out of here today, I want you to be very mindful of your job. Whatever it is the Lord has gifted you to do, whatever your assignment is, whatever your calling is, your profession, do it for the glory of God based upon the mission of God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we love you. We thank you. We glorify you for this moment. You've done it again, and we pause to give you praise. Father, help each of us to understand and embrace the high calling upon each of our lives. Father, you've called us to be in the medical field, in the accounting field, in the business field, in mechanics, in construction, Father, in postal work, Lord, all those things, Lord. And we're missionaries literally in those places. So as we let our light shine, may we experience your presence. Father, help us to reflect your glory everywhere we go. Help us to be men and women of integrity that make you look good. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Come on, give God a hand.